We've made a little headway. And I just appreciate your listenership very much here on the Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left.
This is the Quality News Network. In trading today, the Dow Jones fell below the 12,000 mark. We'll have the latest Wall Street numbers near the close of trading coming up in our business block. President Bush wrapped up his Latin American trip by holding a press conference in Mexico today with Mexican President Felipe Calderon. Bush pledged to update the U.S. immigration laws and crack down on illegal drug trafficking. President Bush was also asked about the recent firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. He responded that he is standing by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. However, the president admitted, as Gonzalez did yesterday, that, quote, mistakes were made. Bush said he's not happy about them. Attorney General Gonzalez will meet with congressional lawmakers over the next week to further explain the matter. The Senate passed a procedural vote today to allow debate on a resolution that would set a target date of April 1, 2008, for the U.S. combat mission in Iraq to end. An Iraqi army spokesman says that the number of civilian deaths in Baghdad has gone down, as well as the number of insurgent attacks. A U.S. military commander also says the security plan in Baghdad is showing, quote, positive signs of progress. However, in Iraqi violence yesterday, a Marine and 2 U.S. soldiers were killed. North of Baghdad in Tikrit, the bodies of Saddam Hussein's 2 sons and grandson have been exhumed and reburied near his grave. Iraq's president, Jalal Talabani, returned back to his Kurdish hometown today. He spent the past 17 days in a hospital in Jordan after he collapsed in northern Iraq. His doctor said the 73-year-old suffered from dehydration and exhaustion. On Saturday, there will be a vote by the Palestinian Legislative Council on the new Palestinian Unity Government, which will bring Hamas and Fatah together. In a civil trial involving the relatives of victims of the USS Cole bombing in 2000, the federal judge in the case said today that Sudan is responsible for the attack. In Beijing today, the UN nuclear watchdog chief said that North Korea is demanding that the United States lift financial penalties against the country first before it shuts down its nuclear reactor. A UN report predicts that in the year 2050, the world's population will reach 9.2 billion. It is currently 6.7 billion. Most of all of the new growth is expected in the developing world. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
The FDA is warning that widely prescribed sleeping pills, such as Ambien and Lunesta, can cause dangerous side effects, including sleep driving and sleep eating. In both instances, the patient has no memory of the activity. The FDA wants stronger warnings on the medication labels. The Texas House of Representatives today voted to overturn the governor's controversial executive order that would require sixth-grade girls to receive an anti-cervical cancer vaccine. There is a similar bill under consideration in the Texas Senate. General Motors reported it had a fourth-quarter profit of $950 million after several quarters of losses. Overall, in 2006, GM lost $2 billion compared to the restated nearly $10.5 billion of losses the previous year. California's Attorney General announced a plea deal has been reached in the HP media spying scandal. The former Hewlett-Packard chairwoman, Patricia Dunn, and three others will enter guilty pleas to misdemeanor charges today. Scholastic Inc., the publisher of the seventh and final Harry Potter book, will print 12 million copies in its first printing. The book will be released July 21st. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $58.16 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is up 56 points, NASDAQ up 21, S&P 500 up 9. There's more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everybody. How you doing? Sorry about the last couple of days. Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head-On Radio Network. We missed a couple due to, John had some computer issues to deal with here, and I couldn't quite do the thing. But we're all fixed. We're all back. We're all happening. Heaps to catch up on. Geez, you know, it's amazing what goes by over a couple of days. I just had links backing up in my email. It's just been crazy. But, you know, we've got heaps to do today. Heaps to do today. If you'd like to get on the program, you can dial in at 1-877-443-2366 or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things today. But first, I'd like to speak about a bit of music news. I believe it was just night before last or something was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and each year a few bands are inducted, and one of my favorite all-time bands was in amongst the group of inductees, and at Common Dreams, this would have been on Monday, there's a great little piece from Patti Smith called Ain't It Strange, Ruminations on Being Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it's a short little piece. She says, on a cold morning in 1955, walking to Sunday school, I was drawn to the voice of Little Richard wailing Tutti Frutti from the interior of a local boy's makeshift clubhouse. So powerful was the connection that I let go of my mother's hand. Rock and roll, it drew me from my path to a sea of possibilities. It sheltered and shattered me. From the end of childhood through a painful adolescence, I had my first altercation with my father when the Rolling Stones made their debut on the Ed Sullivan Show. Rock and roll was mine to defend. It strengthened my hand and gave me a sense of tribe as I ordered a boarded a bus from South Jersey to freedom in 1967. Rock and roll at that time was a fusion of intimacies. Repression bloomed into rapture like raging weeds shooting through cracks in the cement. Our music provided a sense of communal activism. Our artists provoked an ascension into awareness as we ran amok in the frenzied state of grace. My late husband, Fred Sonic Smith, then of Detroit's MC5, was part of the Brotherhood instrumental in forging a revolution. Seeking to save the world with love and the electric guitar, he created an oral autonomy, yet did not have the constitution to survive all the complexities of existence. Before he died in the winter of 1994, he consoled me to continue working. He believed that one day I would be recognized for my efforts, and though I protested, he quietly asked me to accept that was bestowed gracefully in his name. Today, I will join R.E.M., the Ronettes, Van Halen, and Grandmaster Flash, and the Furious Five to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. On the eve of this event, I asked myself many questions. Should an artist working within the revolutionary landscape of rock accept laurels from an institution? Should laurels be offered? Am I a worthy recipient? I have wrestled with these questions, and my conscience leads me back to Fred and those like him, the maverick souls who may never be afforded such honors. Thus, in his name, I will accept with gratitude. Fred Sonic Smith was of the people, and I am none but him. One who has loved rock and roll and crawled from the ranks to the stage to salute history and plant seeds for the erratic magic landscape of the new guard. Because its members will be the guardians of our cultural voice, the internet is their CBGB. I love that line. Their territory is global. They will dictate how they want to create and disseminate their work. They will, in time, make breathless changes in our political process. They have the technology to unite and create a new party, to be vigilant in their choice of candidates unfettered by corporate pressure. The potential power to form and reform is unprecedented. Human history abounds with idealistic movements that rise, then fall in disarray. The Children of the Light, the Journey to the East, the Summer of Love, the Season of Grunge. But just as we seem to repeat our follies, we also abide. Rock and roll drew me from my mother's hand and led me to experience. In the end, it was my neighbors who put everything in perspective. An approving nod from an old Italian woman who sells me pasta, a high five from the postman, an embrace from the notary and his wife, and a shout from the sanitation man driving down my street, "Hey, Patty, Hall of Fame, one for us!" I just smiled and I noticed I was proud. One for the neighborhood, my parents, my band, one for Fred and anybody else who wants to come along. And I just think that what a great little piece, and what a great statement, you know, just what rock and roll is supposed to be about. Not to get, you know, too grandiose or you know, kind of bloated about it, but this is, you know, this is what music is supposed to be about, as far as I'm concerned. It's supposed to be about moving people, you know, and. You know, it is an interesting question. You know, if you are one of these people that, you know, feels that music is a vehicle for change, do you take on accolades like this? And I reckon that, in my mind, especially in these situations, you know, at REM, Van Halen. I mean, Van Halen. That's today's track of the day, kids. It's Van Halen, and it's just for no other reason than my own selfishness. But, you know, I think having your own community come back and give you credit for what you've done is probably a good thing. In modern times where being an activist is not necessarily shined upon by the mainstream media, to, you know, get some confirmation from your peers, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. So with that, folks, we're going to take our first break of the day. And you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, coming to you live from Sydney, Australia, via the home studios in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. Stick around. We're going to go for a couple messages, and we'll come back with some green news and our track of the day. Stick around.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business ventures. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breached that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here for a Wednesday evening, Thursday morning down in my part of the planet. And we're going to go straight to the phones because I believe we have our good friend Cassie on the line. Welcome to the program, darling.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing really good, and I have a feeling I know why you're ringing.
Well, two reasons. First, I wasn't sure if you were going to let me get on the radio today because after I heard your introduction. Because I don't actually like rock. I only like country music.
Do you like both kinds, though, country and western?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I like country. So can I stay on the radio? Is that okay?
Oh, of course you can.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Because you were talking about rock and roll. Anyway.
Oh, well, you know, it was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions. There's a huge country kind of, you know, rib in my rib cage that continues to get kind of larger as I get older. Believe me, it's not a segregated community here. But what else can we do for you?
The other reason that I called was that they did a ranking of how of clean energy and what different cities are doing. And Austin, which is right near where I live, Austin, Texas, came up number one.
I saw that. You sent me a post from your WordPress.com blog, which is FrecklesCassie.wordpress.com.
Yeah, FrecklesCassie.wordpress.com. And it's still the top story that I have. But there's a lot of things that they can do that to make the city more environmentally friendly. And it lists a whole bunch of stuff that even if the federal government isn't doing a whole lot, even if all they're doing is public service announcements, which are great, but I don't think they're doing much more, that cities and people and companies can do a whole lot more. And
absolutely, and it seems, I didn't realize that Austin, because I mean, I used to live in San Antonio, but this is way over a decade ago, and you know, it was before this all became such a big deal in the mainstream. And I, you know, Austin's a university town. It's a great
music town,
and it doesn't. Yep, and it doesn't surprise me at all that they would be well ahead of the other cities in the state. But I'm very, very happy to see that they are, you know, come up number one nationally, and it seems like they're doing some very, very you know, some massive solar programs.
Yeah,
just scanning
and
through your art.
Every place where there's a flashing light, all the new ones, like there's a bunch of new subdivisions and there's new areas and stuff, the all of the flash lights and some of the traffic lights have solar panels on top of them. And so they're not even connected to the grid.
That's excellent.
They're
That's
just
excellent.
Like the, with the flashing yellows and by the school zones and things like that.
Right.
And there's one I saw the other day right outside the firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And outside the firehouse, they have red lights, and if it's red, you have to stop behind this so that the fire truck can turn around. And those also have little solar panels. And then the middle school I used to go to, they put up some new building area because it's got 1,400 kids in a middle school. Since it's getting bigger, they're adding to it. And the new areas have solar panels on the top. And then they're doing a bunch of stuff with an old greenhouse, and they're going to have, they're going to be teaching people about plants, and they're going to have all kinds of classes in the greenhouse. And the whole greenhouse has solar panels on it too.
Wow. I hope that some of this, you know, it's interesting though. There in Texas, you have both sides of the story. If Austin is number one in being green and moving forward that way, Houston's going backwards from everything that I've been reading. I think it is now the dirtiest city in all of the United States.
Well, because they're not doing that, they don't have the effort. But here, there's so many people who are environmentally aware and who protest stuff. And like with the middle school, it was the parents who said, "Oh, okay, we're building. We're going to do this. We'll put in the bond request thingy that people vote on. Put in that we're going to have." That we're going to have solar panels. Put in that we're going to be, you know, doing it this way.
Well, and I'm seeing a lot of real action happening because of young students and schools. I think part of it comes from just, you know, when you're younger, you kind of don't deal with the spin situation as much, you know. A young kid, I think, is not so kind of been twisted by spin in the media so much that, you know, the obvious is the obvious and you're just going to state it. So, and we've been seeing that here in Australia with this Lights Off Australia campaign that's been done, where uh-huh. where they were asking corporations and households to turn off unnecessary lighting one day a month. And it's just kind of the idea was just to get people into new habits. But what they didn't expect was the fact that they just had signing up with school after school after school. And, I mean, we're talking, you know, grade schools and things where it was the kids came in the morning and confronted their teachers and said, why aren't we not part of this? Why is it that, you know,
yeah,
we aren't on
we
the forefront
it?
Of things? Say again?
And we were told, like, why can't we do it? Like, it used to be here that all the schools kept all the electricity on in the summer, even if there wasn't summer school. And now what they do instead is any computers that need to be on, all those computers go into one room or two rooms, and only those two rooms keep the electricity on, instead of having all the rooms keep the electricity on.
It's amazing what a difference those kind of moves can make, you know. And it's just, you know, the same idea of your television that sits in standby all the time, you know, costs you anywhere from $10 to $30 a year just to have in standby. So, unfortunately, in the United States, you don't have something that we have here in Australia, which is actually a switch on every power point in the wall. It's mandatory part of the code. So any of these appliances that sit in standby, instead of having to unplug them, you can just go up to the wall switch and turn it off.
You mean I should unplug with the TV that I don't use?
Right. Because while it's sitting in standby, it's still using...
What do you mean standby? I know what my standby is on my computer, but I don't...
Well, when you turn it off with the remote and that little red light is on, the TV itself is off, but yet the power supply is still drawing enough power to power the remote system in a standby mode so that it can see the signal from the remote to say, okay, turn yourself fully on. And what you don't realize is that you're using anywhere from 30 to 50% of the power that you use while running it. And this is going 24/7,
really?
7 days a week.
We only use the TV to watch sports, but it's certainly we don't use it during the day. It never even occurred to me to turn it all the way off, that I didn't turn it all the way off. I thought it was all the way off.
Now, it's something a lot of people don't get is the fact that, you know, most of these appliances, your VCRs, your stereos and whatnot, that have the remote controls and whatnot, when you turn them off via the remote, they are actually still drawing power. It might be a trickle, but 365 days later, that actually is added up to something.
Oh,
and so
okay.
By either disconnecting it from the wall, if there is actually
in our house, everything's plugged into a power strip, so I can just shut the power strip.
There you go. It'll actually save you money.
We have a lot more stuff than we have plugs.
doesn't everybody?
Right, probably. So, but that's why it's all. That's why I have all the. Okay.
There you go. You'll actually be able to save yourself money over the year. You will actually see a difference in your power bill if you make the habit of all these things that have this standby power. As many of them as you can actually shut off. And there's some push for manufacturers. You know how like your digital alarm clock will have a backup battery in it just in case the power goes out to save
uh-huh.
the time? There's a push for electronics manufacturers that have, you know, where you got to program stuff like your VCR. If the power goes out, you know, the power comes back, you know, blinky, blinky clock, everything's all out, about having either... a self-recharging battery in it to just keep the logic circuit running,
uh-huh.
to maintain the memory, or, you know, a 9-volt battery thing, so that people can actually fully shut these appliances down, because you consider there are millions of these things all over the place.
Once I shut it down, then when I turn it back on, it's going to have the wrong time.
Right. So there's discussion with the manufacturers now. Saying that it's time to take the same thing that you've done with alarm clocks and put it into things like microwave ovens, your VCRs and DVD players, your hard disk recorders. And there's a really, really great little thing that I covered a couple weeks ago in the UK, and I'm hoping that there's versions available in the US and elsewhere, is a smart computer plug. And what it is it's kind of like a three-way plug box where you
uh-huh.
plug your computer into the main and all your peripherals into the other two. So when you shut your computer down, it senses that the computer shut down, and it actually shuts off the outlets to all the things like your monitors and everything else, because that's another one. You turn your monitor off,
uh-huh.
and it's actually still drawing power because it's in standby mode. The transformer's still hooked up to the grid and drawing a bit of power.
Okay. Now, I was going to ask you, our printer's on all the time. Is that something that we should unplug also?
Yeah.
Is that
as much as you can.
Drawing a lot of electricity?
Well, it all adds up. It all adds up, and this is one of those things. The convenience feature is kind of, you know, people think that they're turning it off, but they're actually not turning the appliance off. You know,
well, we don't even turn it off. Just
huh?
It's hard to. We don't even turn it off. We leave it on all the time because it's hard to reach. But we could move it instead.
Well, your printer would be small in comparison to your television.
Okay.
The printer would be small in comparison to the computer itself.
Well, the computer shuts all the way off.
Right. But your monitor will still be sitting there in a standby mode waiting for its signal from the video card.
Well, I know I have to set the monitor because otherwise there's a blue light and I can't sleep.
There you go. There you go. Hey, Cassie, I'm so glad you rang in, but I'm already running late on the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
I suggest everybody, though, check out your Blogspot or your WordPress.com blog.
Yeah, frecklescassie.wordpress.com.
Thank you, darling. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is one very, very, very cool young lady, people. I'm telling you, we're going to see some great things from her in the future. Just give it a few years. We're going to go to our break a little bit late, and we're going to come back and cover a little bit of news and then do our track of the day. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Fred, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together, we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Back to Fox up here on the Head On Radio Network. Very, very nice pick there. Some Wrecking Ball. Okay, before we go to our track of the day, I want to talk about some kind of, it's a bit local for me. Well, it's very local. As you all know, Australia has been in this seemingly never-ending drought, and farmers are hurting. It's been bad all the way around, and water policy in this country has been so short-sighted. I mean, for years, it sometimes amazes me that a country that is, you know, so dry, even before, you know, recent changes made things more extreme, it just seemed like they took water for granted. And We've got our state elections coming up in the next couple of weeks here, and there's been a big battle over desalination versus water recycling, and there's been some really stupid campaigns done by very uneducated, dumb people going around, I don't want to drink poo, and it's just like, grow up. Most of the world has dealt with recycled water, and what do you think? Someone makes new water all the time? Hello. Mother Nature is a recycling system, you know. It just really, really dumb. But anyway, Morris Yemma, the premier of the state, has had this backup plan. He hasn't gone for the recycling thing, which I think is dumb. And, you know, he had this thing saying, but we'll put a desalination plant in once levels get to a, you know, drop to a certain point, and you know, it's our insurance plan, and they've been advertising that it'll all be run on green power and yada 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 yada. Now, no one's talked about what they're going to do with the salt. No one's talked about, you know, the fact that it's expensive, and at 9msn.com, there, which is the Nine Network here in Australia, Minister Stoner, who's with the Nationals, is calling for Morris Yemma to come clean about what this whole thing's going to cost, because even though... Morris Yemma is the premier. The opposition leader, who is from Howard's Liberal Party, who's a complete reactionary twit, has actually been right on this issue. He changed his mind. I think it was all driven by polls saying, you know, we need to get into water recycling. And it's now become this, you know, labor desalination, liberal recycling, and both of them just got to get over each other and say, you know, we need to do very possibly both. It's interesting that from a third party, Mr. Stoner saying, look, you haven't talked about the true cost of this, and we've had things just completely blow out of budget in this state over the last, you know, few years. Everything from transit to almost anything you can imagine, and services just keep falling apart. So I think there's a discussion that needs to be had down here, because, you know, this drought ain't going to break, and I'll put money on that. It might improve, but it ain't going to break. Mother Nature has changed enough. Things have shifted enough. It's just going to stay dry. But between, you know, so I keep wondering, because I have to admit, the state labor government has been very much labor in name only. you know, they call themselves labor, but yet there's something very, very different that goes on. There's been a lot of inside deals with developers and all kinds of other things. So, you know, is it the fact that the desalination plant ends up putting more money in the pockets of private hands? You know, I think that this is, it's been a very, very short-sighted thing here. And even though the labor government should get back in without any worries, and I actually think that that's the right way to go, because the liberals, if they got in, would sign off certain powers over to the federal government, which I think would be a very, very bad, bad move for working families and working people. But, you know, this is, again, one of these examples. We haven't actually been given the real details on the cost, and no one's talked about what they're doing with the salt. Because if they go pumping it straight back into the ocean, the runoff effects to the life forms in the water will just be drastic. So, you know, for the Australian listeners that are out there, especially those that might be in New South Wales, and we've got a few, you know, once old Morris gets himself back in, I think it's time to tell him to wake up, rethink this desalination thing, and that recycling really is the better move. And he'd probably be showing himself good form by saying that, now that I know now things that I didn't know then, and with what I know now, I think that this is a better way to go. Because this whole thing about I won't drink poo is just very, very childish and stupid. So with that, let's go to our track of the day. It's not very long, but, you know, Van Halen was probably one of my favorite bands of all time. Now, you know, we're going back a ways. They haven't done much in a long time. It's been a soap opera of in the media, the fights between old Diamond Dave and Eddie, and when I heard that they were being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I was just like, yeah, right on, very cool. And, you know, the original band was supposed to even get back together to perform. Well, that didn't happen. Ed's gone off to rehab. I mean, and he's been fighting alcoholism all, you know, his entire adult life. All kinds of weird things. I sometimes think that Eddie's kind of disappeared up his own rectum a little bit over the last few years. Even though I always sided with old Ed in the Ed versus Dave days, but you know, this was a pioneering band. You know, this is the post Zeppelin generation in American music, and you know, all the influences of Cream and the fact that, you know, both brothers Ed and Alex were trained classical pianists first. You know, and something that I really, really miss, that even in the most bombastic, silly rock and roll band, there is real prowess on one's instrument. And that's one of the things that, you know, Eddie Van Halen took guitar to the next level. You know, Hendrix did his thing to reinvent it, and then Eddie took it to another space, and there are people that are doing things off of that now. I reckon, you know, we might not hear them so much in the radio, and all we hear in rotation is, you know, poppy stuff like Jump and Panama. But I figured I'd play something slightly darker. From Van Halen's, I believe, third album, Fair Warning, which was the darkest album they ever did. This is just an outrageous song called Mean Street. And the beginning of this is Eddie playing his guitar with a pencil. I swear to you. So with that, Van Halen and Mean Streets. Roll it, Agnes. We'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise. surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Friday, welcome back to Foxed Up. There, a little bit of Tool. Talk about music and math. All right, let's go straight back to the B1 Louder phone lines. We've got Susan on the line. How you going, Susan?
In there. Still there?
How are you? Yeah, I'm here.
Cool. Okay, I just wanted to mention something, kind of a add on to what Cassie said. She mentioned that she had left her printer on. Now,
yeah.
If you're talking about a laser printer, well, that's one thing. If it's an inkjet printer, it's costing you more than you think.
That's probably,
There's a mechanism inside of them that heats up and then cools down and heats up and then cools down the ink. And so what happens is the ink goes, whoop, and then you have to go out and buy more ink, which is really expensive.
I reckon ink cartridges are a racket in themselves.
Oh, yeah. When I was, I used to work for doing tech support for Hewlett Packard. And they used to say, we're not in the business to sell printers. We sell ink.
Yeah, and we actually have here a Lexmark printer scanner that we haven't bought an ink cartridge for in a year, just because two ink cartridges now equal the price of the printer scanner.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you're,
you know, it,
if you're, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, it's one of these things, you know, it's almost like a drug dealer, you know.
Yeah.
You buy the printer really, really cheap, and you get the first cartridges really, really cheap, and you think you've gotten a deal, but then when you go to refill it, and you cannot tell me that, you know, two cartridges, the color cartridge and the black cartridge for my printer that cost $99 will run me almost $70 just to refill it, and it hardly goes anywhere. You cannot tell me that the ink prices are justified in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, they're not. I can also tell you that I managed to extend the life of my printer cartridges out way, way, way out there simply by, okay, my system is on a power strip, just like what Cassie said, but before I turn off my power strip, I reach over and turn off my printer. My printer is only on if I actually need to print something. And
right.
then it's immediately turned off again. That alone will save you a bundle.
Well, yeah, and I hadn't even thought of the whole thing about the heating elements. And
yeah.
you know, heating something up, that is one of your, you know, biggest power usage kind of things, because
exactly.
you know it's all done in kilowatt hours, and watts are is the measure of the work actually being done,
and
heating
that.
Elements of no matter, that's huge, you know, that's
uh-huh.
huge in comparison, and you know, I guess I haven't talked about this enough, about the whole concept of standby power, you know, just from Cassie's reaction, you know, the simple things. I mean, your television can run you. I think they said in Australia, if you leave your television, your CRT television on standby all year long, it can cost you anywhere from $50 to $100 a year in electricity.
Yeah.
Just to run an LED, which is
right.
which is really, really insane. And so I think, at least here in Australia, there's now a push for manufacturers to come up with better ways, and also make it so that programmable units have some sort of backup power that you can shut them off at the power point,
yeah.
and not have
oh.
to reprogram them. And,
yeah.
You know,
one thing
these are really, really simple
can
things.
Do is go
yep,
on,
absolutely.
Just reach over, turn the printer off.
Yep.
Anyway, you have a nice day.
All right, thank you, Susan. Thanks for that. And with that, we got to wrap up today's show. Boy, went by fast, and it was so good to be back. I hated missing the last couple of days, so stick around. It's Prayer Meeting with Bob Kincaid coming up next. Big thanks to Agnes Kincaid for producing today's program. Thanks to Cassie and Susan for bringing in. Thanks to Susan and Jean, our bloggers. ELO, Peter, Lottie, the mods over in the chat room, you all rock. Thanks to B1 Louder for the music. Thank you to the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters for everything that they do for the horn. And, you know, and big kudos for those who, REM and Van Halen being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think it's great. REM deserves a lot of credit for a lot of the things that a good example of a band that puts their money where their mouth is. So as we say here on Foxed Up, folks, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment. Tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f- if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics,
tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood. Or more poignantly, the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you.
This is the Quality News Network. In trading today, the Dow Jones had a triple-digit decline and fell below the 12,000 mark. We'll have the closing Wall Street numbers coming up in our business block. The Senate passed a procedural vote today to allow debate on a resolution that would set a target date of April 1, 2008 for the U.S. combat mission in Iraq to end. The Republicans say they will have the votes to defeat it. President Bush has threatened a veto of both the Senate and House bills that call for a troop withdrawal. An Iraqi army spokesman says that the number of civilian deaths in Baghdad has gone down, as well as the number of insurgent attacks. A U.S. military commander also says the security plan in Baghdad is showing, quote, positive signs of progress. However, today, three U.S. soldiers died and nine were injured in the Diyala province. Iraq's President Jalal Talabani returned back to his Kurdish hometown today. He spent the past 17 days in a hospital in Jordan after he collapsed in northern Iraq. North of Baghdad in Tikrit, the bodies of Saddam Hussein's two sons and grandson have been exhumed and reburied near his grave. President Bush wrapped up his Latin American trip by holding a press conference in Mexico today with Mexican President Felipe Calderon. Bush pledged to update the U.S. immigration laws and crack down on illegal drug trafficking. President Bush was also asked about the recent firing of eight U.S. attorneys. He responded that he is standing by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. However, the president admitted, as Gonzalez did yesterday, that, quote, mistakes were made. Attorney General Gonzalez will meet with congressional lawmakers over the next week to further explain the matter. Yesterday, his chief of staff resigned because he failed to give complete explanations to Congress about the removal of the eight prosecutors. In a civil trial involving the relatives of victims of the USS Cole bombing in 2000, the federal judge in the case said today that Sudan is responsible for the attack. On Saturday, there will be a vote by the Palestinian legislature.